Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Everything starts with a design. Art, fashion, architecture, just about everything. Wouldn't you like to know more about what inspired the designer and why they designed something as they did? Welcome to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll speak to some of the most renowned names in the field of design, along with Ann and Eleanor's comments and flair. Let's get started. Here's Ann and Eleanor.
Hello, and welcome to Dishing the Dirt on Design. I'm Ann Asher.
And I'm Eleanor Schrader Schappa.
We thought you'd like to hear a little bit about how this show came into existence. After all, it didn't just drop out of the sky, so I will begin to tell you. I came home and found all these messages on my answering machine one day and then later, and it was Voice America, and I'm not sure if it was Voice of America, which is the government agency, and I just ignored it. I figured somebody looking for money again. And then one day, one of the people got me on. They were a live person speaking to me as a live person and tried to sell me about the idea of a radio show. And I wasn't very interested because when they said that it goes out on the internet, I know I'm the worst tech person in the world, so I couldn't qualify and why start in. Well, they kept calling and calling. I was reluctant because of the tech and being busy. But then they said, you know, you could have a co-host. And I said, oh, my gosh, a big bell and a light just went off because that makes it possible. I have the perfect person. Her name is Eleanor Schrader Schappa, and she is my teacher in design. She's a beautiful redhead, and she can teach people about design in ways that nobody else can, including all the tidbits of design and history, the mysteries and all that stuff. And she's sitting there with all the information, and she's techie. Fabulous. But the problem is, would she agree to go along? Well, I called Eleanor. And to my surprise, she was very happy to, and she would even take on the tech job. So we joined together, and we started to prepare everything and interview potential hosts to make everything really, really interesting. Now, if you think about it, every single thing that you can see, that you can touch, that you can feel, that you can hear, and even smell the aroma of wonderful food or perfume or anything, it's all about design, right? And that's the wonderful ride we're going to take you on. Because design encompasses everything, we can take you everywhere and anywhere. And that's what's going to be ahead for you in our different segments.
And I was so pleased to be asked to be taken on this ride by Anne. I had noticed Anne in the front row of my class studiously taking notes. I saw her in class over and over and over again. We saw that she was very dedicated to her craft, and we became friends. Anne asked me to lunch one day. We immediately hit it off. We started doing lots of things together. And then she called me one day, and I said, that's it. I have the perfect co-host here. And one thing that really struck me about Anne is what an incredible designer she is. I've seen so many of her interiors, and I had asked her to design a space for me, and here's how specific I had asked her to do it, and she got it immediately. I asked her to design something that William Haynes, the famous silent movie star and later decorator, what he would be thinking of if he were looking over his shoulder at Art Deco and looking into the future and mid-century modern, and Anne got it. And on top of that, she added in some beautiful Hollywood elements such as Jean Harlow. And if it had been me, I would have said, Anne, I think probably for me, you might want to go more towards Lucille Ball. But Anne gave me this beautiful space. And so Anne is going to introduce our first guest.
We consider ourselves very, very lucky because Eleanor and my dearest friend, as a friend and in the design world and real estate world, is Brett Parsons, and he agreed to do our inaugural show. Now, Brett is a celebrity real estate agent in Beverly Hills. He is the author of a book about Colcord. It's called Colcord Homes, and he is doing another book called Jewel Box Houses that will be out very soon. But he is so innovative. A firm in Los Angeles, a real estate firm by the name of John Aro, decided to hire Brett because they loved his wonderful creative ideas. And the idea that he came up with, which is so innovative, is aroarchitectural.com. Aro spelled A-A-R-O-E. And what this does is that it lists in Los Angeles, but I'm sure this model will be replicated around the country, if not the world, eventually. He lists resources for homes, architects, designers, landscape people, showrooms, plus biographies on all the great Southern California architects, past and present, and historical information on all the different neighborhoods. And this is a wonderful way for neighborhood associations to link in and find out what's going on, too. This was all what Brett came up with, and John Aro has backed him all the way on it, and it has been a huge success. Now, Brett is a real expert on Hollywood and especially Beverly Hills, so I'm going to turn this over to you, Brett. Welcome, and could you please start telling us about the epicenter of the early development of Beverly Hills encompassed in the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Well, thank you. First of all, I think the epicenter is that introduction. I was beginning to wonder who you were speaking of. So thank you very much for that illustrious intro. John Aro did hire me, and we have quite a website, Aro Architectural, that lists every resource you can imagine home-related, and it really is taking off. And since today's program is about moguls, mansions, and movie stars, there's no better spot to start the subject matter than in Beverly Hills. And ironically, in the epicenter of Beverly Hills, of course, is the Beverly Hills Hotel, which just celebrated its 100th anniversary.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was in May, just a couple of months ago. And it really is the origin of Beverly Hills. There's a lot of glamour to Southern California, but when you subtract that, most everything in Los Angeles developed as a real estate deal. Uh-huh. And Beverly Hills was no exception. Before the glitz and the glamour and Rodeo Drive that we think about today, Beverly Hills was a beanfield. Southern California was one of the largest agricultural producing regions in the country, and Beverly Hills, they raised crops there. And it was a bean field, and some developers decided that they were going to build a luxury home development there. Remember, this was 1912, and they had to have a place to house potential buyers. So they needed a hotel, which is why the hotel is literally in the middle of Beverly Hills. And remember, in 1912, Los Angeles, of course, was not developed yet. However, the world saw images of something that we know today as the Pasadena Rose Bowl Parade, the Rose Parade. And the world would see postcard images of Pasadena on January 1st of every year with sunshine. And here they were living, you know, in snowdrifts, and here they were seeing a parade and beautiful pictures and sunshine and oranges. So that was much to the developers' benefit, in that the great migration to Southern California began, and that was one of the first pieces that really kicked it off, was I want to live in sunshine.
Yes.
So, of course, we all do. We all do. So, of course, the hotel was built in 1912. And remember, we didn't have the movie star element yet. But the development started, the roads were laid out, the palm trees were planted, and the city, you know, no pun intended, began to take root. But then in 1919, that's when it began, the change began into how we know Beverly Hills today. America's sweetheart, Mary Pickford, would marry Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and they were both, they were probably the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie of today, as far as their impact. And Douglas Fairbanks Jr. had just purchased 15 acres in Beverly Hills in a rural canyon area. He would pay $35,000, which, if that was today, would be about $75 million. Oh. The great real estate investment he made. And remember, nobody was there yet. The hotel was there, and Beverly Hills had been developed about 5 years, but it was still sparse. But America's sweetheart and her movie star husband built a home. Wallace Neff was the architect. It was a hunting lodge that actually was remodeled. And thus began the Hollywood element. When they moved in 1920, of course, all of Hollywood followed, and that's when the mansions began being built that we know today. So, in a nutshell, that was really, it was a real estate development, and then it took on a Hollywood movie star allure with Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
And then how many others followed soon thereafter, do you estimate, Brett?
Oh, sure. After that, between 1920 and right before World War II, the area would just boom with development. And not only did you have the movie stars, but you had all the producers, the directors, the writers, and whatnot. And why the homes were so wonderful is Southern California is the greatest home-building region in the world because of weather, but also because of topography, meaning your lot. You can have a flat lot, a hilly lot, an ocean lot, a hillside lot. You can basically build any kind of home you want in Southern California. And because of the wonderful weather, you don't have to build for an inclement climate. For example, you don't have to have a very steep roof, you know, for the sun to melt and you know, fall off by gravity.
That's interesting, Brett.
You can do a lot of flat-roofed houses in Los Angeles because of the weather. And because of that, you can build so many more architectural styles. That's why, in my opinion, we're the greatest home-building region in the world, because we have everything to offer someone to create his or her dream.
Do you have a favorite among the early architects?
You know, so many were so good. They were imported from the East Coast and the West and the Midwest, where they were very, very well educated. I mean, as far as classic architects.
Okay, Brett, I'm sorry, but we have to go to break. So it's time for that. And this is Dishing the Dirt on Design. And our guest is Brett Parsons. We'll be back soon.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader-Shoppa. For more information about our program, please visit dishingthedirtondesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to our show on moguls, mansions, and movie stars with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader-Shoppa. Our guest is Brett Parsons of Arrow Architectural. Brett, tell us more about the neighborhoods of Beverly Hills.
Well, What's most interesting about the area is everyone thinks of it just as Beverly Hills. But when you spend some time there, as in most neighborhoods, there are very distinct pockets within the neighborhood. And, of course, Beverly Hills is no exception. And it's interesting to note because Beverly Hills is its own separate city. Lots of people will lump it into Los Angeles. It is in Los Angeles County. However, it is its own distinct city. They make their own distinct decisions. Mm-hmm. They have their own city council, their own police force, school systems, et cetera. So it's autonomous in a lot of ways as opposed to Los Angeles. It has about 35,000 residents. So that's relatively a small town. Mm-hmm. The big joke about Los Angeles is there's only 200 people here and a lot of mirrors. It's a very small town. And when I did the research for my book for Cold Cord Home, I quickly learned that everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, it was just one phone call to be made. I saw that over and over again. So basically, Beverly Hills is a very, very small, glamorous town. And within that town, a lot goes on. When you have movers and shakers, it's a very interesting, infamous kind of place because you have people from all over the world that are making a trek through Beverly Hills and leaving their mark. As far as the neighborhoods, of course, what most people think of are the neighborhoods where the mansions are. Mm-hmm. But and I'm going to get into that in a second. But you have a distinct shopping village where Rodeo Drive is, and basically they call that south of Santa Monica Boulevard. And you have very, very high-end stores and boutiques from around the world that are there. And then slightly south of that area, below Wilshire Boulevard, where the famous Regent Beverly Wilshire Hotel is, where they filmed Pretty Woman, south of that, behind that hotel, is a very beautiful residential area. More modest homes. I liken it to Leave It to Beaver kind of houses and tree-lined streets. Very, very pretty. And you have a mix of shops and beautiful homes. Now, when you go north up into the hills, it's almost as if every block north you go, it's more expensive. And that, when you leave the shopping area, you are going into an area that most people are familiar with, where most of the mansions are. It's an area called the Flats, and that's in between Santa Monica Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. And it's three blocks long, and you have some of the most beautiful homes ever built. And those would have been started in about 1919 to today. They're still being built, and it's a very beautiful residential area. The area, the reason it's so beautiful is curving streets, beautiful trees. There's a very significant arbor program within the city of Beverly Hills. They take their trees very seriously. You have very wide streets, and probably what makes the area most beautiful, because I love the technical aspects of what makes things beautiful. I mean, design does have a reason when you look behind it, regardless of whatever is designed.
Yes.
For the neighborhoods of Beverly Hills, one of the biggest reasons of contributing to its beauty are the alleys. All the homes have the front street, and then they have an alley in the back. And the alley, of course, is for all your services and whatnot. But also because of that, a great many of the garages are in the back of the property and are accessed by the alleys. Therefore, you don't have cars parked on the street for the most part. And I believe it's after 10 p.m. you cannot park a car on the street in Beverly Hills. It adds immensely to the beauty of the neighborhood when the cars are off the street. And it's something you probably don't think about when you're visiting, but they take that very seriously, and that contributes to the beauty of the Flats. You have a variety of architectural styles. Just imagine your favorite home, and I guarantee you there will be a replica of one of those in the Flats. Beautiful Spanish revival mansions and, you know, colonial looking mansions from the East Coast, and you'll have a castle or two. You basically have every single style of home from a cottage to a very, very large estate and absolutely everything in between. And I know, Eleanor, in your classes, I know you talk about many of these homes.
Yes, and I find it very interesting that there is such a diversity of styles within the city of Beverly Hills. And do you have a particular favorite, Brett?
You know, I love anything design-wise, as long as it's good to begin with. I think anything, if it's well thought out and has stood the test of time, is absolutely beautiful. As far as Beverly Hills, I do have a preference only because Southern California is technically a watered desert. We shouldn't be here, but because of imported water, we are able to thrive here. But because of that, I love indigenous materials in the homes that are built. And for Los Angeles, it's awfully hard to beat a thick-walled Spanish house.
Yes, and that's very indigenous to our style.
Yeah. Now, there are 25 other styles that I absolutely love in addition to that. There is just something about a big Spanish home in Beverly Hills. It just seems as if it's an outcropping from the earth. It belongs here. The materials are from here. So that's, you know, if you force me to pick a favorite, it's going to be a Spanish revival.
Well, that's going to be mine, too. That seems to fit so well into the Los Angeles landscape and especially Beverly Hills.
Yeah, but we have the most beautiful examples of every architecture there is. I mean, next door to my fantasy Spanish can be the most beautiful colonial revival ever built as well. And, of course, I would want that one then. So it's hard to single out one because we really do have a representation of very beautiful homes here.
And I hope we get to keep more of them. Beverly Hills recently passed an historical precedence of keeping some of the homes because we were losing so many of the older, elegant homes, especially those from Paul Williams and other architects of the era. So hopefully that will get a little bit better as the future comes along.
You know, it took a while. I think it's probably to everybody's benefit because the beauty of Beverly Hills is its architecture. Without the architecture, it's just basically a plain old bean field, which is what it started out being, which incidentally, the name Beverly Hills came from Beverly Farms in Massachusetts. That's where the developer got the name and dropped Farms and added Hills because Beverly Hills is obviously hilly as you get towards the mountains.
And do you think that a lot of people had come out primarily because of the movie industry or the farming industry, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, I think, first of all, people saw pictures emanating from Southern California about the weather. And because of that, I think that was the initial catalyst for the migration. And then, of course, the movie industry, when that took off in about 1915 into the 20s, I think people saw a very lucrative livelihood to be found in a very beautiful environment with wonderful weather.
Okay.
So, and with that, let me quickly go through the other neighborhoods.
Yes.
We've spent a lot of time on the flats, which it is where most of the homes are. That's where you see the movie star buses go up and down the streets. Mm-hmm. And if you remember the Beverly Hillbillies, the opening segment when they're in the jalopy, they're driving up Beverly Drive. So
yes.
That is the flats of Beverly Hills. North of Sunset, you've got the estate area. It's hillier. The streets are curvier. But you have got absolutely magnificent estates there that were built, begun in the 20s. And many of them are still in existence today. And these are homes that are on, 5-10 acres that are absolutely spellbinding. You don't get to see them too often today because of all the vegetation that's grown up. But, through that gate, which might be the only aspect of that home you'll see, is an absolute nirvana. It's heaven. And that's because of the lush foliage that surrounds these magnificent estates.
It's time to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dishing the Dirt on Design.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Get the latest information in health and wellness when you tune into On the Radio with Dr. Ray. Each week, you'll find out the latest and greatest from both traditional and holistic perspectives. Your host, Dr. Robert Ray, better known as Dr. 90210, is the best known and most sought after plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. Dr. Ray, with his co-host, Natalie Day, will help you get the dream body you've always wanted through diet and exercise, not surgery and medicine. On the Radio with Dr. Ray airs live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety.
A child's readiness to learn is sometimes affected by sensory integration disorders or developmental delays. Occupational therapy interventions can help children and adults diagnosed with these challenges to move ahead at home and at school, in their work and in their play. Tune in to Focus Point Review with host occupational therapist Maureen Palmer, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness. You will hear how the lives of children and adults have been changed through the effective use of life-changing interventions.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. For more information about our program, please visit dishingthedirtondesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Dishing the Dirt on Design, and our guest is Brett Parsons. Brett, I want you to really let our listeners in on the absolute inside stories. After all, they've tuned in to hear about Dishing the Dirt on Design, and I know that you know these stories. I want to hear about the moguls and the mansions and the movie stars and what went on and the color and the intrigue, and I know there's nobody better in all of Beverly Hills to tell it than you. So you go forth in this segment.
Well, of course, it's always everyone's favorite part. And when you have a combination of moguls living in mansions and their next door neighbors are movie stars, everything in the world is going to happen. Probably the best adjective to use is combustible. So outside, you know, these gorgeous looking homes and manicured lawns and perfectly paved streets, you do have a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Any neighborhood does. But in Beverly Hills, you have so much money and so much power and egos that are the size of the planet. That's what makes things combust. I'm trying to think of, I have lots of stories and obviously need to be discreet to some degree. Probably the funniest one, because the show's about design, there was a very, very well-known woman. I won't say her name because the husband's still living. And she was having her home redecorated. Well, as one would imagine, you know, a stereotypical, you know, Beverly Hills household, they don't get out of bed until noon. Now, that's not the truth, but it's easy to imagine. Well, this woman was one of those who actually did not get out of bed until noon. She was having her home completely redecorated. They were hanging a lot of wallpaper. And in her bedroom, the wallpapers, the crew was in there doing the wallpapering, and she absolutely refused to get out of bed. She was not going to be disrupted by servicemen, re-wallpapering her walls. So she simply stayed in bed the entire time, you know, drinking champagne and eating chocolates. Oh. And so when they needed to work around her, the workmen first simply lifted the bed to another corner of the room. So, you know, it's rather innocuous. It sounds awfully silly, but I think it conjures up a good stereotype of how indulgent people are in Beverly Hills.
And got very excited.
Did this happen a long time ago, or is this contemporary behavior, or has there been a change?
I think this one I'm remembering is probably about 1990 or 1991, something like that.
Oh, that still is modern times in my book.
Very much so, very right. much so. Now, on the other line, and keeping it design-related, is there was a beautiful home north of Sunset that was being redecorated. They were doing the installation of all the magnificent furnishings and whatnot. And the sectional sofa arrived, but the designer neglected to measure the sofa and would it go in the front door or not. Well, it didn't go in the double-doored entry. And no big deal. They simply decided to take it down the side yard. Well, it wouldn't fit down the side yard either. This was a very large sectional sofa, and even though it was in pieces, it was humongous. So what they did was they thought, okay, well, we'll get it in. So they craned it. They hired a crane and literally lifted it up over the house, and then the goal was to bring it in the sliding doors off the patio, where they realized there'd be no problem whatsoever getting it in. Well, the crane lifted it up over the house, and when it was over the swimming pool, the cable snapped.
Oh, no! And did so it land in the pool?
And so the colossal pool landed in the pool. When I heard the story after it had happened, I dubbed it 20,000 yards under the sea.
Right? That's right, and that decorator never to design again for that client, or maybe any others in Beverly Hills.
You know, probably not. So, right. So we'll go from humorous design to rather a sad story, because I was so fond of both of them, which was Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood, mm-hmm. who I think are beloved by most. Well, after she died, they held the wake in her home on North Cannon Drive, and so many celebrities, obviously their friends, visited and to express their condolences and whatnot, that crowds of people began gathering in the street and the sidewalk to look at the stars going into the house. Well, there were so many people that an entrepreneur set up a hot dog stand in front of the house. You know, you go from the serious to the sublime in Beverly Hills, and somebody was being very practical. This crowd needed fed. But meanwhile, it was over something that was very, very sad. But that didn't stop anybody from manners, and they continued forth, and somebody made a lot of money selling hot dogs. So, you know, so you've got those kind of stories, and then of course there are wonderful stories about the servants that are the ones that really run the household, that the that the couple that lives there, they really don't know what's going on, and very much like those famous movies about Beverly Hills Cop and whatnot, where they would oftentimes zero into the help that really ran things behind the scenes. I think that's an old story, but it certainly applies today.
Brett, speaking of William Haynes, do you know anything about the Jack Warner estate and how Haynes had decorated it, and now it's no longer with many of the items that Haynes had put in it?
Well, actually, you're speaking about the home that's owned by David Geffen today,
the
entertainment mogul. That was built for one of the Warner fellows of Warner Brothers, and it was built on 10 acres. It's still the original 10 acres today. It is beyond luxurious. In fact, it is, you enter the gates and you're basically in a completely different world. But I suggest don't enter the gates, because apparently there are Marines that guard, or former Marines, or I even heard Navy SEALs at one point that guard the entire estate. So, drive by quickly. That would be my only suggestion there. But what was fascinating about that house is in the early 90s when Geffen did buy it, it was actually my boss, John Arrow, that had the listing. And there was only one exclusion, and that was if David Geffen were to purchase it, there would be no commission. Well, within 20 minutes of the home going on the market, the home was purchased with a full cashier's check for $47 million by David Geffen. And this was in the early 90s. And he is a very smart man. He made a very wise real estate decision. That home today, you're looking at probably $125 to $150 million. And I doubt it would sit on the market that long. It is absolutely exquisitely done. It's utter perfection. And I can understand why he would never allow it to be photographed, because it is just absolute, it's just perfection.
It's beautiful.
That's the best word. I doubt he would want people to see how he really lives. It's that exquisite.
So it's going to be a quick architectural drive-by.
All you're going to see is the gate.
Okay.
And I suggest not even getting out of the car. I think someone would greet you that you really wouldn't expect. He did. That's the other thing, that people will sometimes, you know, go through gates and go through pathways and whatnot that are clearly marked no trespassing. Lots of people do have armed security. It's taken very seriously, particularly in a neighborhood that's slightly north of David's house called Beverly Park, which is a new development as of 30 years ago. And, I mean, armed guards are the norm there because you have moguls from around the world that want peace and privacy, mm-hmm. and they are just not about to be interrupted.
Yes.
You know, with that.
Could you tell us just a little bit about Beverly Park?
Sure. It's as I said, it was created about 30 years ago. It's up at the top of Beverly Hills. It's rather remote. There's one section called North Beverly Park and then another section called South Beverly Park. You have basically 20, 30, 40,000 square foot homes that are gated within the gated park, which is interesting, and you just have extraordinary structures. I almost don't want to call them homes. I almost call them commercial buildings, although, of course, they look like homes. They are so large, require very large staffs. It is absolute. Well, what comes to mind is Newport, Rhode Island, when the moguls were building their mansions at the turn of the 20th century in Newport. It's probably the most luxurious living one could ever do. I mean, think almost in terms of Versailles as far as absolute grandeur.
Yeah. Very, very grand, and nobody gets in unless your name is on a list. You show identification at the guardhouses, and they're serious guardhouses, though they look absolutely beautiful. It's like something out of a storybook, but business.
They're charming, yeah.
Right, serious business. Right.
Absolutely. Rumor has it there in 30 years there's only been one robbery in Beverly Park, and that, I'm told, was an inside job.
So that tells you how well it's guarded, right?
You can tell they mean business.
Right.
Yes. Residents there today, you're going to have Sylvester Stallone and Rod Stewart, Sumner Redstone, you know, just prime movers and shakers of the world. Lots of foreigners as well, Chinese and Russians as well. It's very attractive to them. And Denzel Washington, Eddie Murphy. It's truly a star-studded neighborhood.
Well, thank you so much, Brett. You are really filling us in on knowledge and learning a lot, but a lot of dirt that you're dishing too, which I'm sure everybody who tunes in wants to hear. Stay tuned for more Dishing the Dirt on Design. We'll be back soon. Thank you.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
You just love your pets, but sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Tune in to the Hoffman Connection for inspiration, a life of passion and purpose. Hosts Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune will bring you ways to remove the blocks in your life that are holding you back. Along with their guest experts, Raz and Ed will use their experience and expertise to help you learn to get closer to what matters to you most. And by doing so, improve your life and the lives of others. The Hoffman Connection can be heard live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
S&P experts, call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. For more information about our program, please visit dishingthedirtondesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to our show on moguls, mansions, and movie stars with celebrity real estate agent Brett Parsons. Brett, I also wanted to remind our listeners about your website, www.aeroarchitectural.com, and that's A-A-R-O-E, architectural.com.
Perfect.
It lists all the great Los Angeles resources for your homes of architects and landscapers, showrooms, plus biographies on all the great Southern California architects, past and present, and historical information on all the different neighborhoods. And now, Brett, could you tell us a little bit more about what really happens on those Hollywood bus tours?
Well, if you're coming to Beverly Hills, you must take a Hollywood tour bus tour. They've been around for probably 50 or 60 years. I have pictures of tourists climbing onto those buses from the 40s and 50s. So it's an old business in the city. You've got to take a tour. Because of regulations and whatnot, the once tour buses have been diminished down to tour shuttles and tour coaches. And oftentimes in good weather, you'll take a tour where the roof will have been taken off. So it's an open-air tour. It's very comfortable. It's very nice. Well, what happens is the tour bus driver, or shuttle driver rather, will be giving the tour over a microphone, and of course everyone in the tour shuttle will be able to hear the speaker, but all the neighbors do as well. Mm. You can imagine, you know, the Good Humor truck driving down your street, you know, wavering back and forth with that hideous theme song, and it's absolutely driving you crazy. Well, the residents feel the same way because they can hear everything that the tour bus driver says. And heaven forbid, if you own a home that a star once owned, because the tour bus will park in front of your house and give the entire story about the house, whether it's accurate or not, that's another story. But if you're in the house, you're going to hear the spiel. And it's not so bad hearing it once, but you're going to hear it probably 9 to 10 times an hour in Beverly Hills. The tour bus business is very, very lucrative, and everybody wants a tour of Beverly Hills mansions. Inevitably, the coach will go down a street that probably will be well known to our listeners, called Roxbury Drive. Mm-hmm. In Beverly Hills, it's north of Sunset. It's in the estate area. And the reason they picked that street is because every star in Hollywood seemingly has lived on that street at some time. I mean, even today, you've got well-known folks on that street. But you'll go down Roxbury Drive and you'll have Jimmy Stewart and Hedy Lamarr. Rosemary Clooney was there, Agnes Moorehead, Madonna, Diane Keaton, Jack Benny, Peter Falk. It just goes on and on. But the most famous resident on that street on the corner of Roxbury and Lexington was, of course, Lucille Ball.
Yes.
And people just made a pilgrimage to that home because they remember the famous episode from I Love Lucy when she was on the tour bus. And what many people don't realize is that when they filmed that episode, they actually filmed it outside Lucy's real-life home.
Oh.
So when you watch that episode, look at the street sign that you'll see in the clip. You'll see Lexington and Roxbury. Well, that was Lucy's actual house. And so people would make a pilgrimage there, you know, knocking on the door to see if Lucy's home. Well, it turns out my brother is very friendly with Lucy Arnaz, Lucy's daughter. And Lucille Arnaz would tell the story about all these people coming up to knock on the door. Well, they had a Chinese housekeeper who was about 4'11" high. And she was a very, very nice lady, but didn't speak a lot of English. And the door would knock all day long, and what she would do is she would open up the peephole and yell out the peephole, "She not home." And so, you know, but it, you know, in those days, fans were not as voracious, and they were a little bit more civil, so you didn't have to really worry about problems. Today, I doubt that would ever be allowed to happen. You know, it's a tougher time now because of security. But those tour buses, you do get a great view into a lot of these movie star houses, and I've been on two of them. For the most part, they're fairly accurate. Of course, it depends on the driver and whatnot, but it's a wonderful way to really learn what's happened in Beverly Hills. And of course, they'll take you around the infamous spots, too. I mean, I think the story that's gone around the world is about, you know, George Michael meeting the police officer in the bathroom across from the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Oh, yes.
That poor guy, he's got great music, but I think he's only going to be remembered for his visit with the policeman. So, and that's at Will Rogers Park, which is a beautiful triangular-shaped park directly in front of the Beverly Hills Hotel. It's an absolutely fascinating city because you can basically reinvent yourself when you come to Beverly Hills. Anybody is accepted, and it's almost as if the more extravagant one is, the more one is going to fit. One is going to fit in better. It really is a city of excesses and a city of extremes. And also, that being said, very warm, kind-hearted, philanthropic people.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't get reported on as much, but as far as the charitable contributions and the foundations and whatnot, people are very generous.
Brett, I'm so happy that you're bringing that up, because Beverly Hills is filled with a lot of wonderful people who are dedicated. They seem to form a group to support almost anything and everything. They're there first. And they have a lot of wonderful children who are in the Beverly Hills school system as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy that you're getting that message out, because aside from all the things we laugh at and the extravagances, which builds a lot of publicity and makes people want to go to the movies, which is all part of the game, we have wonderful, wonderful people. And even so many of these people that you hear a lot of the stories about, when you really know them, they're really the salt of the earth and great people, and they're fun to be with, and they treat people well, and they're good to everybody, and most generous. I've never seen so many generous people in my life as in Beverly Hills and that whole West LA area.
It's a very warm-hearted community. Mm-hmm. It's just the extravagances get reported on first, but there's plenty of the other, and that's what makes it a vibrant, vital community to this day. And I'm certain it will continue even more so in the future. There's no doubt about that part in my mind.
Brett, it's been so much fun hearing your stories, and we hope you'll come back and tell us more.
Oh, absolutely. We've only scratched the surface.
To our wonderful audience, we give you a great big thank you for listening to our inaugural broadcast. Tune in next time so that we can tantalize you with more Dishing the Dirt on Design. I'm Ann Asher, signing off, and thanks so much for being with us.
I'm Eleanor Schrader-Schapa. Thank you for being with us today, and we'll dish more dirt for you next time.
Thank you again for listening this week. Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader-Schapa will be back next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, for another edition of Dishing the Dirt on Design on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.